Morning, church.
Buenos días, iglesia. It's good to be here again in the house of the Lord. And a random dude meets Christ. And I say random because it's important that you understand that Christ is for everybody. He's for the random person. He's for every single person there is. And I want to read a bit of Hebrews 6. And if you've been in my classes this year, I spent a lot of time in Hebrews 6 this year, and a lot of lessons. Maybe this will be the last one. I just love Hebrews 6 so much. But Hebrews 6, 1 through 12, if you read it with me, you will see it will show the entire Christian walk. It will show Christianity from the very beginning to the very end, and both options of how it may end. And so if you don't mind yet another lesson in Hebrews 6, let's read Hebrews 6, 1 through 12, and pay attention to what it says. He says, "Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of instruction about washing and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. In this we will do if God permits. For in the case of those who had once been enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. For ground that drinks the rain which often falls on it and brings forth vegetation, useful to those for those sake it is also tilled, receives a blessing from God. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned. But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you, and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards his name, and having ministered and is still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Again, this is the entire Christian walk. In some sense, this is Christianity 101. These are the basics. It shows you what's most important. It shows you how to keep it. It shows it how to fall away. And it gives warnings, it gives blessings. So let's personify this. Let's take a random dude, and we'll call him Random Dude, and we'll give him a Christian walk. We apply upon this person a Christian walk. Before Random Dude became a Christian, he was somebody people would call a good guy. He was a good guy. He wasn't a Christian, but he was a good person. He didn't have anything against God per se, but nothing for God either. One of those kind of people. He heard about God and the Bible and knew what it said. But he always figured it was for other people, those who really need Jesus, just not for him. He had nothing against people who followed Christ, mind you. But it's important to understand about him that this man did hear about Christ and the Bible, and he knew what those people believed. So he was educated according to the gospel. But he believed as long as he did nobody harm, it was okay how he lived. That was his logic. I will live in such a way so as not to hurt anybody. He felt that if anybody else lived that way, they were okay as well. As long as you hurt nobody, do what you want to do, he figured. For example, if he went out with the intention of getting wasted, that's his business. As long as he had somebody to drive him home. Or if he regularly watched something on the computer that he shouldn't, that's okay. Not hurting anybody. Well, one day Random Dude realized that him purposely getting wasted wasn't such a good idea. Maybe because he was hungover the next day and something bad happened because he could not be sharp enough due to his drinking the night before. And he realized it does hurt somebody. It is a problem. Or one day he realized that watching bad things on the internet, on the computer, took up energy and took up time that he could have given to his wife. And he realized that marital problems began to pop up. It also occurred to him that if his wife knew what he was looking on the computer, it would hurt her. And so, as a result, this random dude began to have sorrow about what he did. He began to feel sorrow about his choices in his life. And I believe, I'm at the point now where I believe that the first step in Christianity is not necessarily faith, per se. I believe the first step of becoming a Christian is feeling sorry for a sinful life. We begin to recognize that this is not right, what's happening here. Something is wrong. That recognition is the first step of coming into the faith. Because one cannot be a Christian and not be sorry about their lifestyle apart from Christ. We cannot be proud of our sins. We must feel sorry about them. The Bible says this over and over again. There has to be a recognition that something is wrong and the sadness that comes from it. 2 Corinthians 10:7 is pretty clear about this. It says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. And godly sorrow leaves no regret. That's the beauty of God, is that despite our sorrow for our sins, he can wash us clean of those sins and we have a clear conscience through God. Later on in that verse, he'll say, worldly sorrow does not do that. Worldly sorrow, you feel bad and you just feel bad. But godly sorrow, we can feel bad, but yet through Christ, feel wonderful again. You see, Christ did not come for the righteous. He came for the sick. He came for people who recognize that they're sick. People who go to the hospital willingly understand there is something wrong with me. I need help. This is what Christ is like, a spiritual doctor for our souls. We say, I'm something's wrong with me, Lord. I need help. Mark 2:17, the book of Mark chapter 2, verse 17. Because you're talking to Pharisees who thought they had no sins. And Christ pretty much said, I can't help you then, because I'm only here to help people who are sick. And I pray none of us think we don't need Christ's help. It's a scary place to be. But they were there. Mark 2:17. And hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. This is why we have to be careful if you baptize little kids, because it's okay to baptize young people. But a lot of little kids intellectually understand the gospel. It's true. You could be 6, 7, 8 years old and get the Bible and get what Christ did and why he came to earth and died on the cross, even describe it. But a lot of kids at that age are not sorry for a sinful life. They've not lived life very much. They don't understand those kind of things. They have not yet recognized what sin is and how bad it is. A lot of little kids understand that they're not sorry for sinful life yet. And if a child cannot recognize how bad sin is, they cannot truly understand why Christ died. This is why we celebrate every Sunday the Lord's Supper. Mark did a phenomenal job today. Great job. And spoke about why we should recognize the importance of the shedding of his blood that took pain, took torture for our sakes. And that has to be understood to be a Christian. And you see, when Peter first saw Christ, he said, stay away from me. I'm a sinful man. Get away from me. It's like Peter recognized, I'm going to die. I know you are so righteous. If I am in your presence due to my sins, I cannot live. So get away from me. I'm a sinful man. You don't want to be near me. In Luke 5:8, look at Luke 5:8. This is when Peter first met Jesus. When Simon Peter recognized who Christ was, he fell down at Christ's feet saying, imagine that, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. I don't belong with you. But this is the kind of attitude that we need to become a Christian, really. That's what God wants to hear. And based on that response, Jesus said to him, don't fear, get up It's time to save souls. Make you fishers of men. Don't fear. I'm not going to hurt you. That recognition of how sinful you are is why you shouldn't fear anything. Don't fear. Get up. Let's make you fishers of men. It's this sorrow for sin that leads to true repentance. So I believe that it isn't just faith that has to be there in the beginning. There has to be repentance. That's why Peter, the same Peter, had no problem saying in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. Doesn't mention faith because he understands faith is associated with this. He says, repent and be baptized. That's why back in Hebrews 6, where we just read, there's this ranking of the basic things that we need. And in that ranking, we see Christ number one. After that, what do we see? Repentance. Then you see faith. So it appears biblical that repentance is one of those. I know faith is the energy, it's the battery of everything, but repentance is just the avenue by which we begin to understand Christ and appreciate Christ and recognize ourselves. So back to random dude. This random guy, he saw that his lifestyle wasn't good enough. His views on the world were not pure enough. He was seeing the results of his sin, and he recognized he was just not trying hard enough. And he decided, he made that all-important choice to try the Bible's way of doing things. It really comes down to a choice. It comes down to simply saying, okay, I'm gonna do it now. That's all Christianity is. I'm gonna choose to do this. And this man happened to say, okay, I would choose to try to do what the Bible says. Let's see if my life improves. He decided to turn around and try to follow Jesus. And once he decided to turn around from his old life and try the new life, he became blessed. He became blessed. He was baptized in the name of Jesus. His life was transformed, and he began a path of everlasting life rather than a destiny that was beforehand of everlasting death. The Holy Spirit made a home in the temple of his body. He saw that he enjoyed his life and his friends and his fun when he didn't get wasted. He was still having a wonderful time, a better time. He found that making his wife his only source of romance and not trying to replace her with parts of the computer truly improved his life more than he could have imagined. But here's where I will split random dude into two sides, and Hebrews 6 goes in two different directions, because it's important to recognize that this happy ending, which should happen, might not happen if you're not careful. And the Hebrew writer says, saying, be careful of this situation, please. I want you all to stay righteous. So split two sides. Random dude A keeps doing what is right. Random dude B falls away. This isn't somebody who made a mistake one day. No, this is somebody who decided, after receiving these promises, okay, I'm going to go back to that lifestyle I came from. This is a rejection of Christianity I'm talking about here. Hebrews 6 is kind enough not only to show us the entire Christian walk, but it will show us the fallen Christian walk too. Some people think that if a Christian falls away, they were never truly a Christian, because it's so hard to believe that you can have all these blessings and still fall away. I mean, how can anybody fall away if they've truly been enlightened by God? How can a person fall away if they've tasted a bit of heaven? The Bible will show over and over again that a good church is like a bit of heaven. How can anybody fall away if they've had the Holy Spirit inside of them, the very presence of God inside of you? How do you fall away from that? How can anybody have read the entire Bible and seen the Bible change their life and then fall away? Speaking from my point of view, I've experienced all the things that I've discussed here, and the Bible say, if you're a Christian, we all have. If we've been a Christian over a period of time, we've all had these things. And I can't imagine rejecting these things for anybody. There's nothing in this world better than Christ. Nothing. But the Bible shows that it's possible and that people do so. Somehow, some way, people have experienced all these things and rejected Christ nevertheless. Read it again. Let's read it again. Hebrews 6, 4 through 6 shows it's possible. For in the case of those who have been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift, and have been partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the Word of God, and the powers of the age to come, then have fallen away, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance. Now, there are people who believe kind of what it reads here, that you can't go back again if you fall away at this point. And there are those who don't believe that. Both sides, I've heard both sides, and I happen to believe what is written there. I think it's a very serious warning. It's meant to be something that we say, whoa, I don't want that to happen to me. So the best advice for all of us who experience these things on a regular basis is simple. Don't fall away. Stand firm. Every day, maintain that faith. Get into the Word every day. It's so important. Don't give up meeting with the saints. Don't give up going to church. Talk to God through prayer. Let God talk to you through the Bible every single day. Take time for the Lord. 15 minutes. Keep on praying. Take time for God. Take time for the Lord. Christ said in John 16:1, Jesus Christ said, I have told you these things to keep you from stumbling. John 16:1, Christ intends for us to keep us away from that route. So let's keep close to Jesus. Because random dude B who fell away was fully a Christian. He was like a field at one point, a field drinking regular rain. Rain of the Word of God, the nourishment from the skies of the fellowship of the saints, the replenishing rain of the Holy Spirit. He had it all. He had every reason to keep on succeeding. But somehow, despite all these things, thorns and bristles came out of his field of salvation. The Bible's saying, that's what the Bible's saying. It's saying, so if you have all these things in your life and yet the fruits are thorns and bristles, rejection of the faith, Hebrews 6:8 says, that kind of field's got to be burned. I mean, that kind of field is useless. So what more can you do with that field? You're giving it all the nourishment you can possibly give it, and yet it still produces bad things, and that kind of field has to be burned. And we know that's an analogy for hell. You know, it's a word we don't want to use. We want to bring up and discuss, but the Bible clarifies. I'm very happy that the Bible gives us the truth about our world. It's not hiding anything. So random dude B went back to the regular lifestyle of getting smashed for fun. He continued, despite a better way of life, he went back to that world. Somehow, some way, random dude B went back to exchanging the natural blessings of his wife for the artificial things of a computer. You see, all Christ can do is die for us and give us all that we need to go to heaven. All Christ could do is give us everything. If you reject that, there is literally nothing left. He provides us everything. If you say no to that, what do we say yes to? I don't want to be like random dude B who falls away. Let's see the pathway of random dude A. Because random dude A kept on going on the right path. Random dude A not only stopped doing bad things. Again, Christianity isn't just stopping doing bad things, the bad habits. It's living a different lifestyle. It's doing good things, changing our energy and our behavior. The current of his life didn't just stand still and become stagnant. Christianity isn't just, I'm not going to hell. That's not Christianity either. It's about, I'm going to heaven, and I'm bringing people to heaven with me. It began to move in another direction. He began to do good things, to produce good works, to produce fruit. He began to do the work of a church. He began to find lost souls and turn them into saints. As Christ told Peter, okay, you're a sinner. That's right. Let's go find other sinners. That's pretty much what he said. You're a sinner. You recognize this. Let's go find other ones. That's Christianity. And then he began to carry on blessing those saints. Random dude A. Random dude A was diligent in the faith. working as if working towards heaven. Hebrews 6, 9 through 12 talks about such a person. Hebrews 6, 9 through 12. But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you. And this is talking to us. I mean, just put yourself here. We're convinced of better things for this church, for those who are saved, for those of us who are Christians, things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. See, Christianity isn't just about I'm not going to hell, and it isn't just about I'm going to heaven. I'm just going to heaven. Things accompany salvation. It's a better lifestyle, a better way of life, blessings, prosperous fruit. For God is not unjust so that to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards his name and having ministered and is still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that we will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That's for us. Random Dude A is also like a field. He's in the church. He's immersed in the church. He's feeling the blessings of God. He has all that he needs. And the results with him are that he produces in return and blesses other people. Hebrews 6, 7. His future is not fire, it's the promises of God. Hebrews 6, 9, it is heaven. The entire Christian walk is displayed in Hebrews 6, 1 through 12. Even a warning of falling away. So read it, study it, find the goodness therein. And if anybody is sorry for an old way of life, anybody feels remorse for a lifestyle outside of Christ, are you ready to change? Are you ready to change? If so, today is the very best day to change and come to Christ. Please think of these things as we stand and sing.